Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective, with myself, Cynthia Sloan, and co-host,
Ani Avedisian. Oh, it's me. Hello.
Hello, everyone. I'm totally here.
And we're delighted again to have you with us this evening. As usual, I like to state that this show is all about listener participation. And during the second part of the show, we would love to hear your questions and comments, anything interesting you might want to share with us. Let me give you the number to jot down, 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227. And of course, we will repeat that a little later on before we open the lines to callers.
Thank you, Ani. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. We're really just talking about, before we came on air, how we really enjoy this opportunity to connect with everyone and to share our truths and what comes through us, with us, and because of us, and all of us as one. And today's topic is motivation. What are you motivated by? How are you motivated? Are you motivated at all? And I definitely have thought about motivation with the work that I do, the work that I'm honored to do with clients and people, and the opportunity to really look at how they're motivated, if that's still fueling them, if they're not motivated, what's stopping them, etc. And what we really look at a lot is motivation. I tend to start looking at motivation with clients in their past lives. Not always, but definitely if indicated by the being that I'm working with, that sometimes a lack of motivation is an ancestral, contractual, lineage type of thing. Sometimes it is a power struggle. Sometimes it's the need for suffering. Sometimes motivation or lack of it is part of the soul's path and part of their journey, part of their awakening. So I think motivation on many levels, people are motivated by, I think, on a societal level or maybe mass consciousness level, pain, struggling, fear. Fear motivates individuals. And oftentimes I invite individuals to claim in their own life that they'll no longer feel motivated or give permission to feel motivated by pain, suffering, lack, disconnection. But they start communicating with themselves and their lives around them that they'll allow themselves to be motivated by joy, celebration, good feelings. And then that really leads us into, do they feel deserving of receiving? Do they feel deserving of accepting motivation in a positive flow? Will that be enough to make them create movement, etc.? So there's much more from there, but I'm going to shoot it over to Ani.
Who's not very motivated to talk to you this evening. Oh, no, wait, I've just changed my mind. I found my point of motivation.
Oh, I could just keep going on.
I know you could, Cynthia, but let's do me. All right. Hey, you know, motivation, it's all about moving your motives. If your motives are wrong, nothing will be right. And we give everybody credit for tuning in today, because the fact that you're all sitting there asking yourselves this question is a credit to your motivation. And you, don't you think?
I think, yeah, they might not. They might be asking why they're tuning in at all.
I deal with people in a slightly different way than you do. A lot of people come to me when they're really not well, and generally in the later stages of disease. And my work with them is all about teaching people to move forward. And I agree with you. You know, fear is really what motivates people to come in and take a look at what their life experience has been thus far and where they're going with that. So, you know, one of the main things that I really do want to stress with keeping motivated, first and foremost, develop and maintain a positive, spirit-centered attitude. You're not going to create any desire within you to do better or to move forward if you're talking from a place of lack or if you're talking from a place of despair and a lack of inspiration. Never, ever state your intentions from a place of lack. The language that you use is very important to prompt the feelings within you. You know, ultimately, we're all trying to do better. We're trying to set our intent to, you know, have better health, to have better mental health, physical health, to be better partners, to be better people. And along with that, I think we forget ourselves. We forget how to honor ourselves. And we're always trying to honor other people's goals, and we become very, very goal-oriented. And speaking as somebody who used to work in the corporate world, everything was all about goals, goals, goals. And I think a lot of that, you know, goal setting really puts you upstream, and you're struggling against allowing the flow to move in. So my biggest thing, develop and maintain a positive spirit-centered attitude. And, you know, if you want to stay on track, you really need to see the track that you're on. You know, what is the intent? What is the purpose? What, I don't want to use the word goal, but, you know, is your intent, is your purpose clear to you? Because if you're going to start a journey, there's no point in starting a journey if you don't really know where you're going or if you don't really want to go anywhere. So be as clear as you can be. You know, we're constantly bombarded by distraction. It's a busy world. Eyes on the prize always. Let's have a think. What is this all about? What do I want to motivate myself for? Does that make sense to you, Cynthia?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And to go even beyond that is to look at a long time ago, centuries ago, you know, it's the elements, it was the weather patterns, literally, that motivated humanity to create security, to create a cover over their heads, to create a home, because the elements were something that posed a threat not only to their well-being, but to the well-being of whatever food they had. And so when we look at what motivates you, I invite you to look at what motivates you. And be mindful, are you looking at what motivates you on a survival level? Is that what your plateau and your perspective is? What's motivating you from survival? Because if you're, one of the things to contemplate is if you've built a house and you have in that moment, in your present moment, if you have a cover over your head and you are in that safety, but you're still coming from a perspective of survival, then you're going to create in a survival kind of manifestation that includes, or possibly doesn't include, rather, joy, laughter, connection. It doesn't include interaction. It doesn't include everything outside of survival. That once survival has been accomplished, then people can relax, heal, and move into celebrating life. So what we want to look at, and I invite everyone to look at, only if it resonates, of course, is what motivates you, and are you in this moment of your life coming from a place of being motivated by fear, motivated by insecurity, motivated by lack, etc. And that's not wrong, and that's not bad. None of that is. But it, if you look at all of those factors as a tool to assist you to know where to begin to create, then it won't hold you back. But if you're looking at motivation from those places of fear and from lack and from survival, but you don't see them as a tool and you can continually create from that place, then you start experiencing repetition in your life, and then you are not necessarily experiencing happiness, and then you get into a spiral or a cycle of returning over and over to that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, you know, start from where you are. Like Cynthia says, you know, we don't always really know what we want, but we do know that we want to feel better. And that's the beginning of identifying what we want. Generally, you know, we know what we don't want. And that's a good thing because at least it starts us on the identification process. We know what we don't want. Life isn't working for us right now. So now we can identify what it is that we need and what it is that we want to go forward. And, you know, as we learn, you know, as we learn, and, you know, we used to have, talking about the survival mode that you were talking about, Cynthia, you know, when it was all about food and all of that, once we had a certain population on the planet, once we learned how to plow the fields and put shoes on the horses so that food could be, you know, because, you know, shoeing horses was really kind of instrumental in feeding the planet.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I just pictured a tennis shoe. Sorry. Go ahead.
That is actually kind of funny. So once we figured all that out, then we started to make things for the sake of just pure beauty and art. that type of thing. So, you know, we're talking about that expanded consciousness. So it's not as if it started from a place of lack, but one of the things I do want to stress is if you don't know what you do need, you do know that you want to feel better, get yourself feeling a little happier, get yourself in a very positive space, as positive as you can be, so that you can start to visualize what it is that you need to improve your life. And one of the things I know that motivates me when things aren't working very well for me, which is hardly ever, but, you know, it can happen, is I like to tell the story of how I want my life to be, you know, not how it is today. If I'm looking to change things in my life because it's not working for me and my present reality is a little overrated, you know, I take a look in the future and I say, you know, what is it that I want to do with my life? What do I want it to look like? And then I can start to think about the little steps that I need to get to that. And when I say don't talk from a place of lack, you know, once you've identified what it is that you do need, one of the biggest things that we address all the time is people are very motivated by money. And you know, I like money myself. I think it's a very useful tool to have at one's disposal. And it's a very strong point of attraction for the planet. So I don't have a problem talking about money. We talk about it every day. So it's something that needs to be addressed. But, you know, for years I used to say, dear God, I want to be free from debt. Dear God, I want to be free from debt. Or, dear God, I'm overweight. I want to give up popcorn. Dear God, I'm overweight. I want to give up popcorn. And I didn't realize that what the universe was hearing was the words debt and popcorn. Because, you know, the law of attraction comes into play at all times and all things. So, you know, my debt increased, my consumption of popcorn increased, and I went into debt so I could buy more popcorn. And it was the ever-spiraling problem. So that's what I mean by, you know, don't state your intent from a place of lack. What I really should have been saying is that I want to be solvent. You know, I want to eat broccoli. So we see how that comes into play at all times, using the language to get yourself into a better feeling space.
Well, I think that's great, and I think also creative motivation. I mean, some people are too bored to be motivated. They're too bored. Part of their boredom is that they are just surviving. They're not thriving. And their creative energetics within their system are not flowing. They're either dormant or shut down because in their childhood or past life, they were told they would never amount to being able to express their creativity, so don't bother. And so then I look at, pay attention to the tapes that you're running in your head. What is the internal dialogue that you are communicating with yourself? If it's one that you've heard before, I invite everyone to contemplate changing it, even on from a daily basis. Take a week, for example, Saturday to a Saturday, and pay attention every day to what you know to be your regular dialogue with yourself about maybe the same issue every day, and change that dialogue. Start being creative because you'll start actually waking up and activating that creative energy within you to start co-creating and creating a new language that speaks about possibility. It speaks about possibility not only for you but around you. Right now in the world, as we all know, we're on the brink of change, and some change has happened, and depending on who you've talked to, many feel that it's needed change, and others feel that they're fearful about what's to come. So right now is a time about how we relate to what's going on outside of us and around us, that it is possibly a reflection of what's going on within us. A lot of people in our humanity are holding their breath right now. They're in fear. They're in contraction. They're waiting to see what's going to happen next. And I invite people to contemplate that that's not wrong nor bad, but contemplate that there's no need to wait and see what's going to happen next if you're talking about joy. If you're talking about finding something that day that's going to help you connect with laughter. If you're talking about something that day that's going to help you connect with a thought or a vision of nature, the animal kingdom, or a child, that's going to bring a smile to your face. That helps expand your energy even while most of humanity is contracted. If you want to help expand and flow your energy in the face of all of that, start connecting with and giving yourself permission to be creative in your motivation, because even if you start shifting your focus, to me, that's being creative and starting to motivate yourself to expand and seek elsewhere, so you don't keep repeating patterns and you don't keep repeating dialogues. And please know this, contemplate it if it resonates for your own, that if you can change yourself, then you can change the world. But if you're waiting for the world to change before you begin to change yourself, then you're going to be looking simply for the reasons why it hasn't changed and overlook the reasons that it has.
Well put, Cynthia. You know, it's all about wise choices and timing. As we shift our focus, we shift our vibration, which in turn shifts our point of attraction, and that point of attraction is all important. And as Cynthia was saying, you know, we really can't change the world, but we are the world. So we have to make peace with ourselves, our divinity, our place in creation, and vibrationally align ourselves with our source energy, with our divinity, and totally accept that and work with that. Reality, as it's played out on a daily basis, is nothing. It's overrated. It's not your creation. If you want to change the way things are in the world, you simply have to be at peace. You don't have to be a woman of action or a man of action and have revolutions and go to war and all of this rubbish that just we've been trained to do over time and space. Yeah. What I recommend thoroughly that we develop some sort of time alone each day that we can spend with spirit in prayerful contemplation, whether it's a walk in the park, whether it's Qigong, Tai Chi, whatever it is, whether it's just laying on the floor and breathing. But every man and woman needs 10 to 15 minutes alone each day without distraction from spouse, children, pets, where they can shut the door and just lay down somewhere and say, okay, this is my time with spirit. The reason for that is it's not so much prayer. It's not sort of reaching out in prayer and saying, God, I need this and God, I need that. It's to allow spirit to flow through you. What you want to do is to make a habit of reaching out for that perfect, wonderful God vibration and allowing it to wash over you and really feel that vibration. When you're in the arms of God, so to speak, you experience what it is to feel safe and comforted, but very, very inspired and very excited at the same time. And the more you revisit or recreate that vibration, the easier it becomes, until it gets to a point in your life that whenever you're in the midst of all this media and confusion and distractions in your motivational process, you will be able to instantly recreate that pleasant, beautiful, spiritually centered vibration. And everything will fall into alignment for you. But because you have an aura and you're a living being, you are also a mobile sacred space. It will cleanse and purify and vitalize all those that you come into contact with, who will then benefit, and then it will touch those that they touch. And this is how a small group of people will indeed save the world.
Mm. Wow. I agree, and I agree in the aspect that a moment with yourself can be life-changing, can be life-altering, and I invite you to, well, take one of my experiences for an example, and whoever knows me right now is actually clutching the phone, rolling their eyes, and praying, because I've said, take me for an example, and you know who you are. My experience throughout the day is varied. It is looking at the light body and patterning of all form, communicating with it, receiving information from many different dimensions, etc. But a moment for me is a moment where all that's happening outside, around, and within comes to, not, I wouldn't say a stopping point, it comes to a stillness and movement. And the other day I was turning on the sink and water was coming out, and I turned it to hot water, and I stopped for a moment and I realized that I was contemplating, now does this water actually become hot, or does my belief system in this hot water become the experience that I have with it? And so the only reason, I don't invite anyone to do that other than me, but what I do invite people to do is to really go beyond the boundaries. The reason why I'm sharing something so extreme with you, to me, it's my normal people. You don't have to go there. But to me,
thank you.
I'll contemplate and talk to the fly on the ceiling and about its gravity. But to me, I invite you to go outside your comfort level, outside of your comfort level, and meaning just what you know. If you stick to a pattern of just what you know and you don't contemplate the relationship with that water, the relationship with yourself and your life experience, then you keep becoming unmotivated because there's no dialogue there for you. There's no divinity there for you. And so I really invite you to take my extreme example and to turn it into your own, meaning the next time that you are out on a walk, the next time you're looking at a flower or looking at whatever moves you, realize that those beings, those flowers, Mother Nature, etc., exists outside of time. And when you contemplate that being or that flower, you are contemplating yourself outside of time, meaning you are in a altered state of oneness. You're not necessarily contemplating just what time in this dimension recognizes. You're going beyond it. Does that make sense to you?
It makes total sense to me.
Okay. Then if it makes sense to Ani, then it'll make sense to one other person out there. It's good.
Shall I get you some hot water? No, but nobody can see you on the radio.
No, I figured it out. Thank you.
Okay, cool. I'm glad you did. I had a similar experience with cheeseburger and fries. I don't want to go into that today. So.
Okay, save it for another show.
I will. Mm-hmm. I will. You know. You're right, you know.
But be creative in your motivations and know that you're not alone in that. Every single individual that I've seen and that is present on Earth in form has a spirit family with them. It is a large spirit family, and it is a spirit family that delights and is present at all times waiting for your dialogue or even your interest in what goes on beyond you, what goes on beyond the time limits and tasks and titles that you carry for yourself and roles with others on this dimension. You are a being of this dimension, but you're also electrical, you are magnetic, you are vibratory, you are life force in movement, and that means that the stars at night and the galaxy notices you and takes notice of your makeup. Take some time to contemplate the makeup around you as well.
Well put, madam. Don't decide too early what you are. Don't decide too early what anything is. You know, those of you who perhaps have done some studies in courses like Course of Miracles really know that a table is not a table.
Oh, no, we just lost like 25 people.
No, seriously, it's all about the ever-changing experience. You know, when you're talking about what you do, I'm privileged to do the type of work that I do, which is to actually go inside people's chakras, which are operating on many, many different time zones through space continually. It's just a fascinating world. The reason I bring this up is not because I want you to all call me and make appointments, but the reason I bring this up, I have a lot of people who come to me and they are quite ill, they're quite desperate, they're quite depressed, and they're confused and they don't know where to go. And, you know, cleaning their energy helps with the mental clarity. But the favorite, if I had to say what the favorite part of my work is when I'm actually able to work with people's chakras. I, of course, feel every feeling that anybody's ever had from the first incarnation to that moment. But attached to those feelings, I see these millions of videotapes of little snitches of past lives that they've had.
Mm.
And so I may have a gentleman who's 65, 70 years old, who's weary in his body and appears to be diseased, and he's very broken down. His doctors have told him that there's not a lot more they can do for him. But by accessing certain points in his energetic anatomy, I can see beautiful lives that he's had where he's overcome such odds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he's been, for example, I can tell him, dude, you were a Roman gladiator. You are fantastic. I mean, look at those legs. You know, look what you overcame to become that. I'm able to say, you know, you were a freed slave and you became a gladiator and you went through this challenge and that challenge and that challenge. And by able, you know, to pick up that vibration and present that to him and attach it to the vibration that he's experiencing in this life, can actually see his energetic anatomy beefing up and the aura brightening up and the hope and the inspiration, the motivation coming back. It's like, did I do that? Yes, you did. You can do that in this life, too.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Absolutely. I totally agree. I too have had those experiences and am never not in awe of them. And the awe that I find is in the human spirit and in humanity's ability to always return to itself in a place of hope, in a place of new beginning, and a place of inspiration, motivation. And that is in similar type of work to see that individuals, when they can connect, because knowledge is power on a certain level, why they are experiencing a blockage right now, where that blockage originated, and how to clear it, how to use it as an empowering tool, and how to never have to deal with it again in any other lifetime. That's something that I offer people in their own soul dialogue and hall of records, if they're willing to release that information. But yes, it's an the show is called Awakening Matters, and not only does it matter, but when the awakening happens, I agree with Ani that we are truly blessed to be witnesses to that connection in individuals when it does happen. And we are witness to what is possible. And that I have to say, if anything, we are walking on this earth as individuals that believe that nothing is impossible. And so we hold that light and that energy, that vibration and that magnetic for ourselves and for everyone until that becomes a shared community truth and spirit, which I believe it is on a heart-centered soul level. I think it's just the humanity part of us that are waiting to join that.
Mm-hmm. You know, always so difficult because of our conditioning to let go and really believe in the full measure of our unlimited divine potential. You know, everyone thinks that healing or anything can be taken only so far. You know, when people say, well, okay, I I've had spontaneous remission from my leukemia. Whoopee, you know, and that's great. That's mm-hmm. a big whoopee. Or my tumor has dissolved or shrunk to half the size. But, you know, you can't regrow a limb. Well, actually, you can.
Yes, you can.
You can.
Yes, you can, but that's not on the show.
It's not on the show. But, you know, but that's the only reason you don't do it is because you don't believe you can do it. So
plus, you might feel odd walking around with 10, 15.
I said regrow a limb. I'm not suggesting people walk around like an Indian goddess with all these arms and don't even go to the possibilities of what certain people are thinking there. So, you know, no. I meant regrow, in case you thought I'd totally lost it. Yeah. So, yeah, let me just go back to one thing you said that really resonates is, find the block. Mm-hmm. Find the block. Otherwise, you make quitting a habit. Because then you think that people say, well, you're a quitter. You always give up. Actually, no, you're not a quitter. But you usually come through the same block in every single situation. You take your problems with you from job to job, from marriage to marriage these days, whatever, you know. But, you know, find the block, and you will find that you won't be quitting. You will be able to stay on track.
And you know, it is never, and I'm a living testament to this, ever impossible to begin again and to believe in what is a dream or hope and make it happen. Nothing is impossible. And I have seen things in my life from spirit to all the way down to this, what I call plane of demonstration, and I am in constant awe, from a mundane level of constant awe, where the other day I needed a tape recorder for a reading. I didn't think I had it, and I asked spirits, please help me to manifest something. I did reach into my purse, and I pulled out a very small digital recorder that I didn't know I had, and then proceeded to ask for help in how to use it.
Was that information downloaded to you from spirit?
How to use it?
Yes.
No, we had to take some time in figuring it out. However, let's go back to the miracle, which was that the in your mundane lives, you know, I mean, a miracle, you know, that's another thing is how we perceive things and how much time and credit we give to miracles or perceptions is very limited as a humanity. We often experience huge miracles, but we put them on the back burner, or we go, oh, well, that was great. Well, I'm not going to give that any time because my focus is on fixing the next problem, on fixing the next burden, on fixing the next pain. But what we don't realize is that if something has manifested or appeared in your life, no matter how small, If you focus on it, if you sit with it for a moment, if you're in gratitude, if you experience the awe, you allow the equation of that energy to saturate not only yourself, but the next problem down the line is your perception might, for those of you who try it, your perception might be a little bit easier to conceive that anything is possible if you stop to take notice of what was impossible that it has manifested. So many people are moving too fast and not taking time to say, oh, I had a headache or I didn't feel good yesterday, and then the moment they feel better, they don't take time to stop and take notice of that and give their bodies permission to sustain feeling good, to give their bodies permission to receive the gratitude and to say, thank you, I am with this moment fully. I'm going to stay with it, and I give permission for my body to represent me now as a feeling good individual and help the body to rewrite itself and return to a healthy version. That's just one example of many. So, I mean, if you're walking down the street and you're having trouble with money and you see a $10 bill, you go, wow, that was a lucky break, and then you continue walking thinking of the problem instead of realizing and recognizing that that was a message from Spirit, from you, and from Ted, the guy who dropped it out of his pocket. But nonetheless, that you stopped and you took notice of it and said, yes, I accept this and more, and I allow this energy to affect the problem that is burdening me.
Thank you, actually, for putting it that way, because, I mean, what are miracles if they're not a shift in perception?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And a lot of times people pray and they pray and they pray and they ask for a miracle, and they expect it to be a thunderbolt. They actually do. They expect God to go up there and go, I have deigned thee worthy of this great boon that I shall toss upon thee. And the great thunderbolt comes out, and this voice comes out and goes, Ted, Ted, the answer to your problems. This is the Lord speaking, Ted. Roar, you know. And it really isn't. It really is more like Spirit reminding you with a little gentle, almost humorous nudge, hey, look, there's a $10 bill. You were worried about money. That's a little sign from me.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just a shift in perception, which means that you are getting something. You know, I have a little exercise I do with some people where I get them to write down the 100 problems that they have. Sorry for the silence there, readers. Some sort of machinery just decided to do something really weird and totally caught me off guard. So back to... this is, such is live radio, sorry. No recording equipment here. So back to the little exercise that I do. So, you know, we say write down 100 things about yourself that you want to change, 100 of your top problems. And we write these 100 problems down, and apparently everybody has hundreds and hundreds of problems because there's no problem writing these down. And then we talk about the emotional aspect of these problems, and we start finding little solutions. And now, let's say we've got 100 problems, okay? Well, by the time we get down to 8 or 9, we've resolved the emotional core of every single thing on that list.
Mm.
So we don't really have as many problems as we think we do. It's just that shift in perception regarding our emotions that we need to deal with and focus and pay attention.
Yes, pay attention.
Pay attention. Pay attention, because, you know, if you're in a place of lack, everything's going to go, you know, down spiral for you if you don't address that. If you're unable to forgive, you're going to have a whole bunch of issues around that. You know, it's pay attention to the little gifts, the little messages that you get.
Yes, and addition to that, our world around us in our humanity and our form, our divine form, the world around us, the atmosphere is alive and talking to us 24/7. And if we allow ourselves to take notice, to tune in or to expand our scope of vision, we start experiencing the magnificence around us. You just might start also giving yourself permission to define yourself as part of that magnificence instead of separate from it. So the invitation is to start expanding your perception to see what else is going on. Yes, we are fully knowledgeable in our humanity of what our problems are on some level or another, but are you aware of the universal aspect of you and what's going on around you, and that you are that magnificent as well and that you have access to that energetic as well. I think it's all about returning to sacred motivation. What do you hold sacred in your life, and do you stop to take notice of sacred moments? Because if you start beginning to stop and take notice of sacred moments, not too far along, you'll start having sacred days, sacred weeks, sacred months, sacred years. Because what you focus on, you give life, form, and permission to exist, breathe, and participate in your life dance. So if you are not liking your life dance or the music that your life is playing, then you need to start looking at what are you holding sacred, and are you giving yourself 5 seconds a day to be in a sacred space and the rest is to resolve problems? Because if you are, there's an imbalance there of energetic attention and magnetic resonance. So you need to start trying to share the time frame between your humanity and problems and sacred moments. And if your surroundings, your family or your surroundings or the situation you're in right now does not offer you that sacred influence, then go out and take pictures or gather whatever influences you to inspire you and feel sacred and bring it to you and then focus upon it and have some sacred time with yourself.
You know, it takes real guts to acknowledge that pretty much everything that we've been taught, at least in the West, about life, the universe, and everything, and how we're supposed to conduct our lives, is a little wonkers, let's put it that way.
Wonkers.
I mean, you don't have that word here, you know. But, you know, it's a little squiffy, right?
No, we don't have that one either.
Yeah. Well, it's backwards. Everything's backwards. You know, everything is just, we haven't been guided properly. It takes a great deal of courage to go out there and say, hey, you know, I get it, there's a better way. I'm going to ask Spirit to guide me to my purpose, because I can't make sense of the world. I can only make sense of me, my relationship with God, and my place in creation. Through that, perhaps I don't need to make sense of the world. Perhaps then I'll be a better influence on the world. So, you know, ask Spirit to guide you to your purpose, and then take the time to listen. I think Cynthia and I stress this quite a lot throughout our shows. People don't listen.
I'm sorry, what?
Thank you, dear. Yes, very funny. Okay. So when you listen, okay, follow the guidance. Follow where it leads you. You know, you will find happiness in it. You know, that whole thing about heaven on earth, it really, what more could it be except that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing on this planet, fulfilling your purpose? And it doesn't have to be anything serious or, you know, this giant thunderbolt thing again. It's not you against the world. It's you and the universe as a team cooperating.
Mm.
You know, when we do that, when we really adopt that attitude and we just give in, and say, wow, that makes sense. Now, if we listen to Spirit response to us, and it really feels right, as Cynthia would say, if it resonates, make it your own. You know, if it really resonates and you feel that in your gut, you know it's the right thing. You know? You know it's the right thing. Follow it. Don't be so goal-oriented. You know?
The other thing is, the universe, energetically, does not have an agenda or an attachment. Oh, wait, I think, was that a caller?
It is. Hi, Cynthia. Hi, Ani. This is Althea.
Hi.
How are you? I wanted to say a few things. First, I'll start with the positive. I created my kind of manifestation board for my home, and I bought new file folders and different colors and just definitely looking forward to the new home coming in. And I had this moment that happened tonight that I'd really like some advice on. My husband and my daughter like to play around, and my daughter has a very high C voice, and he, like, kind of whipped up a towel and went to go, you know, was warning her, and they taunt, and this is their kind of play, and he went to go get her, and, of course, she's not quite running, but she's playing the whole thing that they do, and the energy just went down my spine, like, shoulders up, migraine, the whole bit within instantaneously. And I was just trying to feel this emotion, but at the same time, I wanted to run out of the room.
Mm.
And, you know,
Go ahead.
Well, and then, you know, and then she's like, ow, and then they burst out laughing. But that type of high intensity that they were playing, or at least that I was feeling, was so, it was almost like over-circuitedness. Help.
Well, you actually posed the problem and then offered yourself a solution. And that is that in every problem, the solution is stated. But your ability to experience and feel what was going on magnetically, energetically, and vibrationally in the room was overwhelming your circuitry. And it was overwhelming your circuitry not only on an energetic level, but physically. Your physical body was taking notice and registering that as well. The way to have that not happen is when they are interacting like that, especially now that you know that that's sometimes the level and the extreme that it'll get to, you really need to ground your energies. You need to ground them, and you need to also state to your energy body that any incoming energy, and your physical body as well, any incoming energy that is not, that is at an extreme vibration or that it is an extreme sound wave, that you will not allow that to de-scramble your own or simply leave the room. But there are, you know, there are, you basically have been, it's been revealed to you that you are energetically sensitive and that your instrument, your divine instrument, which is your entire makeup, is able to take in more of the energy of what's going on between them than even they are feeling. So it's almost like we were talking, or Ani was talking about being hit by lightning. Well, it's very similar to what you're talking about and what happened to you, Ani.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, leaving the room is definitely a good thing. One of the other things, do you know how to ground yourself? Are you able to go and, research methods of how to ground yourself to earth energy?
You know, I feel like I'm grounded myself, but I've had so many people tell me I have. Like, you're still not grounded. I'm like, oh, my God.
Mm. You know, there's an exercise that you can do that I don't know that I can go into on the radio, but it's called throwing a cord from the root chakra down into the center of the earth.
And I've done that. And what worked just recently was just picturing the crystal core, and then I could feel the heat coming up my body.
Okay. You know, one of the other, if that takes practice. That takes practice to achieve. One of the other things that I can suggest to you is the music of the sacred drums, like the Native American sacred drums.
Right.
They have, if you play that in the house at a fairly low vibration, at a fairly low volume, it tends to even out children's high C energy quite a bit.
Okay.
And does that successfully. It's not going to stop her from... you know, from doing her thing and exploding the energy and everything that needs to happen between them.
Right.
Bring it down a peg or two so that it's not disturbing, because everybody has to be happy in the house. There has to be balance.
Right.
Another thing, too, to contemplate is to use stones, literally stones from nature, crystals, et cetera.
Oh, sure. I have them all over the house, and I keep them on me. I was just really shocked that I got so over-circuited, because I'm doing my best to, like, really feel, you know, to allow myself to feel emotions and move emotions through. And this one, I was just like, I'm out of here. And, I mean, it was like a calm, I'm out of here. It was like, get the heck out of here.
You know what? What you're doing is learning, actually, and they are a mirror and a teaching to you, of what you can handle energetically, vibrationally, and what will throw your circuitry. So if you're applying all the tools and you're still feeling that that particular vibration, sound, and interaction throws you, then you need to either create, like Ani was saying, an environmental change to help bring the energy to a balance, or you need to also shift your energy and move outside until they're done.
Right, yeah, I the whole time I was like trying to explain to him, no, you don't understand, don't do that. So I do understand, I need to make the shift. Now, on to happier notes, and I that one just rocked me. I've just never ever felt like that, kind of just so sensed, like almost like cracking feeling. I'm still on the part where I'm manifesting my home, and the place of the home hasn't come through. And I was wondering if I can get some assistance on that.
You're talking about that you're ready to manifest a home, but the home hasn't manifested?
No, like where the location will be, because I know this home is coming in very shortly.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you there?
I'm here.
One of the things for you to contemplate is that you're waiting for the place to come to be revealed to you. You need to start giving spirit and the universe permission to contemplate what choices you have in mind. So instead of just waiting for these places to be revealed to you, you need to contemplate where these places for you would resonate the most and then share that with the universe on a daily basis.
Okay, so now it's just more work in determining where it's going to be for me.
No, really, love. I think what... No, not work, just like a focus. No, not work. No, not work. A second focus, like a minute or a second, to focusing upon... Because spirit, you know, outside of time, so when you talk to spirit, you can do it, you know, while you're in the process of doing something else. And the thing is to focus on just letting spirit know, I'm okay with a home in the following locations. And then just confirm that and validate that to your humanity and yourself and this dimension on a daily basis.
I see. It's a shift. It's a subtle shift I'm starting to pick up on. It's almost like grace. What both of you are saying is have grace in the way you walk and the way your journey is. So, for example, just like with my family, have grace to exit out and create a new environment. Have grace to say, you know, these places sound good.
Absolutely. Grace is definitely part of sacredness, and it's not only the way you carry yourself, but the way you react with yourself and then others. So definitely, thank you so much, caller. I love what you said, and I love the opportunity to get to for us to get to share with you.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
You know, that's very interesting about if you're trying, and it's excellent this caller called in. If you're trying to create sacredness, abundance, healing in your home or in your space, if you have five or six individuals that are creating the opposite, or even one. Creating the opposite of that, you're feeling like instead of creating that sacred space, you're constantly fighting against being influenced by this other perception or this other energetic. That was excellent that caller called in. So if that's happening for you, callers or listeners, it's definitely a symbolic message to you that you need to either remove yourself and create a sacred space elsewhere, a place that you can get away to, or even in the home itself, a place that you can close the door, and that is your sanctuary, and that it is stated no one can affect that sanctuary.
You know, I agree. I'm a big believer in everybody having a place where they can close the door and have that sacred time with spirit alone. But also, you know, I do a lot of energetic clearing of homes, and, you know, families have to live together. Do claim the space in your name. Take a Sunday morning or whatever is the equivalent of your Sunday morning and just, you know, open the windows, get the air going a bit, and go and stand in each and every room just for a moment and just say your own little prayer, something about, you know, releasing any redundant thought patterns and inviting God's grace and the light of the angels to flow through. Just getting rid of all the debris, the energetic debris that's no longer needed, and invite balancing, harmonizing, you know, Christ consciousness light into your home. Just, you know, once a week. I do it, there's only two of us at home, and I do it every single day. I go around every single room, and I balance the energy and claim it in my name. But it makes a lot of difference.
Yes, it does, because your environment, if you participate in it, your environment, actually, you become aligned more with it, and you become energetically, it's like your soul signature is now greater recognized by the environment itself, and it will respond and react to you. So for anyone with those issues going on right now, just know that there's a way to deal with motivation and motivate yourselves to create the space within you and around you to offer you that. And so it looks like we have had an absolutely fabulous show, and we're very, very fortunate and blessed and very grateful to have that. And if Ani can give us where they can write to us.
Absolutely, everyone. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Now, let's see. Our email address is brazilbrit@gmail.com. That's BrazilBrit@gmail.com.
Yes, and everyone, tune in for an extremely exciting show. It's going to be, let's see, on the 26th of January at 8 p.m., and the show is going to be about really your, I would say, let's talk about the layers of your makeup, from your physical, your energetic, your physical anatomy, if you will, and how it relates to the physical anatomy of the earth and to each other, how we are vibrationally and magnetically bouncing off one another and what that is creating. So tune in to hear the Brazilian
and the Brit. Hey everyone, this is Ani Avedisian, encouraging you to let your imagination drive your incarnation.
And this is Cynthia Sloan. If it resonates, make it your own.